I found this to be a pretty tough week. I don't know if, I imagine I'm not the only one. I have found the news of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia quite disturbing. Lots of challenging events happen around us. You know, there's another story, a tragic story as well, the tragedy of Ukraine. There's another tragic story that came back into the news this week that may have been lost because of the events in Ukraine. You know, back on May 25th, 2020, George Floyd died in the custody of Minneapolis police. Officer Derek Chauvin was later convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 22 and a half years in jail. And if you remember, and I was going to put a picture up, but I didn't think we really needed to see it after all, the signature event of George Floyd's death was Chauvin placing his knee on Floyd's neck for over 9 minutes. Even as Floyd complained of not being able to breathe. Bystanders, including an off-duty firefighter, pleaded with Chauvin to let up on Floyd's neck, to turn Floyd over onto his side, but to no avail, and the result was that George Floyd died. An interesting feature of this story is that Derek Chauvin was not the only police officer involved in George Floyd's arrest. There were three other officers, police officers involved. None of the other officers attempted to intervene with Chauvin on George Floyd's behalf. And this week, these three officers were convicted in a U.S. federal court of violating George Floyd's civil rights, his basic right to life. Sentencing is to come later. The officers claimed at the trial that they had deferred to Chauvin's authority as the senior officer at the scene. They were following orders, they said. They were obedient to a higher authority, the senior officer. Two of the officers had just started work. They had been on duty as Minneapolis police officers for only a few days when this all happened. The police officers also claimed that they didn't appreciate Floyd's need for medical aid or that Chauvin's use of force was excessive. The prosecution showed, however, through playing videos and the testimony of witnesses, that it was plain to bystanders that Floyd was in serious trouble. Any reasonable person could infer that intervention was necessary. The prosecution demonstrated that the three officers knew from their training and from a basic human decency that Floyd needed their help. As police officers, they had a moral and professional duty to intervene. Now, we've been talking about obedience for the month of February. We have looked at the dilemma of obedience. We looked at the obedience or independence. Last week, we looked at obedience to a heavenly vision. Today, the question is God's purpose or mine? One person was commenting to me last week about the theme of obedience found in our February services. And they mentioned to me, wasn't Jesus disobedient, even a bit of an iconoclast? That is, someone who worked against social conventions, broke, even smashed social mores. After all, Jesus ate with outcasts and reprobates. He talked to a Samaritan woman against all social conventions. He had women walking with him as disciples. He sometimes broke Sabbath practices for a higher cause. He was someone who was constantly thinking outside of the box and pushing up against the status quo. Are we focusing on the wrong dimension of faith? And are we misunderstanding Jesus when we lift up the practice of obedience as a sign of faith? And I think the story of the three police officers is illustrative of the basic challenge we face in life when it comes to obedience. These three officers had two lines of authority at work. There's an interesting little slide I put together visually, Dave. At the time they arrested George Floyd, there were two lines of authority at work. They had two competing lines of authority at the time of his arrest. One line of authority ran back through Derek Chauvin as senior officer on duty as their superior. This line of authority also had the expectation of loyalty and mutual support that police officers offer each other. The other line of authority ran back through their training and the moral character of their work and their lawful duty. They had a moral and professional duty of care. They had a legal responsibility when they placed George Floyd in their custody. And the question in Minneapolis back in May of 2020 was, which line of competing authority would these three officers be obedient to? Were they going to obey Chauvin as their superior officer, as the one in charge, and as a sign of mutual support, or were they going to obey their training and the moral imperative at hand, which placed George Floyd's well-being primary or first? In order to obey one line of authority, they would have had to disobey the other. Obedience is always one side of a two-sided coin. It all depends on which side of the line you're looking from. What looks like obedience from one side looks like disobedience from the other. These officers either obey Chauvin as their superior and disobey their professional, moral, legal responsibilities, or they obey their professional, moral, and legal responsibilities and they disobey Chauvin as their superior. Which will it be? We all face this kind of dilemma in life. To obey one thing is to disobey another. Jesus was an iconoclast of sorts and disobeyed certain social mores and conventions, went up against certain types of teaching, overstepped the law that was so important to first century Jewish folk at times. Why did he do this? Well, it's because at the same time he was disobeying social conventions and the practice of law in his society, Jesus was being obedient to a higher authority, a different authority, another authority at least. Jesus disobeyed one line of authority because he was obeying a different line of authority in his life. He went up against certain types of human authority because he claimed to be following the line of authority that went right through back to God. This is part of the emphasis in the New Testament of Jesus being the Son of God. That means that Jesus had direct access to God, which means he had a viable line of authority to follow that was different from the authority of the world. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you. In order to obey God, Jesus had at times the need to disobey human authority. Martin Luther, a nice little picture of Martin Luther there, was the founder of Protestant Christianity. He was confronted with a similar choice: follow the Pope's edicts or follow his deep understanding of the scriptures' teachings. Remember, Martin Luther was a doctor of theology, he had a deep grasp of scripture. Two different lines of authority. To obey one is to disobey the other. Think about what it means to be a Protestant. Protest is at the core of the meaning. To go against authority, actually, it's better said to go against authority by claiming another authority. Luther did not want to start a new Christian church or denomination. He wanted to find peace with the Catholic Church, but on what basis would this peace come to be? Which is the ultimate authority in our Christian faith, Scripture or the institution of the church? Martin Luther King Jr., 400 or so years later, was involved in a civil rights march in 1965 from Selma to Birmingham, Alabama. The goal was to get full political rights for Black Americans. A large crowd gathered to walk 54 miles from Selma to Birmingham, the capital city of Alabama. The crowd of civil rights marchers were confronted by the state police as they came up to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The crowd was ordered by the police to disperse. To who or what is this crowd going to be obedient to? Martin Luther King said this: one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. But again, obedience or disobedience depends on one's perspective. Which side of the line are you on? Which side of the line are you looking from? The real question, it seems to me, is not whether you're going to be obedient or not. That's almost a given. You're going to be obedient to something or someone. Every decision that you and I make, in every act we do, every act we don't do, and all what we say or think is obedient to something and being disobedient to something else. The question to me is, which line of authority are we going to be obedient to? What line of authority are you and I going to claim for ourselves? To be a Christian is to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to place obedience to God as revealed in Christ, Jesus Christ, above all other types of authority. Above all. Above all kings. Above all powers. It is to make God the source of our authority in life. To be a Christian is a commitment to become like Christ. To let the Christ light awaken in us, to give God permission to awaken the Christ light in us, to insist that as a matter of personal practice, we commit ourselves to a fellowship with God, an intimate journey with the Lord. That is the paramount relationship of our lives, more important than any other relationship. That means we live in alignment with the true voice of God that lives within our hearts. We commit ourselves to being conformed to the will of God as revealed to us in Jesus. What is God's will? Love. Love. How do we know if we're walking the path of love? If we're walking a path in life, how do we know it's the path of God? See, the path of God is the way of love. If you're walking the path of love, this is how you will know if you're walking the path of love, if you become like Jesus. He's the model, the template by which we are compared against. There is a fruit to love that we can actually look at and understand, recognize, a blessing, a marking of love that comes to it. We see it in the joy and peace and patience and kindness that we share with each other. In the generosity and faithfulness, in the gentleness and self-control that we exemplify in our lives. It takes shape in us as we walk the path of love. We begin to become like Jesus Christ as we walk the path of love. Don't assume that obedience to God in Christ will necessarily lead you to great success. Walking the path of love is not about success, not at least in earthly or worldly terms. Our dreams of success may have no God purpose, no love purpose in them at all. In fact, obedience to God may at times lead us in exactly the opposite direction to what we understand as success in worldly terms. We have the idea, I think, at times that God is leading us towards a particular end or a desired goal, but I don't think that's accurate. The question is not whether we arrive or don't arrive at a particular goal. The question is of little importance to God. Reaching a goal becomes merely an episode along the way in our lives. How we move through life is more important than where we arrive to. And what we see as only the process of reaching a particular end, God sees as the goal itself. God's purpose is to draw us into an intimate and awake relationship with Him. The goal is to know who and what God is, to learn how to depend on God and on God's power for today, to learn how to walk with God in life. And that means in the calamity of this world, if I can stay calm, faithful and unconfused, because I know the Lord is with me, then the goal of God is being accomplished in me. There is no particular finish line in our Christian walk. God's purpose is the process itself. We might even say that heaven is actually an eternal process rather than a place. It's about an ongoing relationship rather than a destination. What God desires for you and me, as scriptures reveal to us, is that we see him walking on the sea with no shore, no success, no goal in sight, but simply having the absolute certainty that everything will be all right because we see him walking on the sea beside us. God's training is for now, not later. God's purpose is for this very moment, not for some time in the future. It's not for us to know or even worry about what will follow on our obedience to love. We don't need to concern ourselves about that. God's purpose is to enable you and me to see that he can walk on the storms of our lives right now. If we have a further goal in mind, we are not paying enough attention to this time. Of course, no one has to walk the path of love. No one is going to force you to walk this path. You're going to have to choose it. You're going to have to commit yourself. You're going to have to commit yourself to an obedience to this path of love. You can follow something other than God's will for life. You can follow a different authority, a line of authority for yourself. Each line of authority has its own logic. Each leads to its own goals and its own processes. The tragedy of George Floyd at its core was that there was no love. There was no love for him on May 25th, 2020. The officers were not walking the path of love with him. He was in their custody, but there was no love for him from them. Something other than love was in control of the moment. There was an obedience in that moment to something other than love, and it led to tragic consequences, as it always does. You may think it's unrealistic that police officers should have love for those they are arresting. But imagine the kind of world we would live in if that were the case. I imagine even in a world of love, we would still need police officers. Would mean the application of the law would be so different. I have compassion for those two newly minted police officers. I can't imagine being on the job for only a couple of days and facing a situation this ugly and disturbing. It would have taken a very confident young officer to challenge and overturn the actions of a 19-year veteran. They would have had to risk their career from almost the first day on the job. They just got started. They would have had to risk the goal of their lives as they understood it, to be police officers, in order to intervene in the moment. An intervention of the type that would have been required for George Floyd's protection would have seriously put in peril their future careers. Probably ended their careers before they even got started. What do you do in a moment like that? What would you have done, honestly? What would I have done, honestly, 2 or 3 days on the job in a situation like that? What would you have liked to have done? Maybe a better question. Would you give up a career to save a person? Would you give up your career to save a person? Would you have risked your livelihood to protect someone you just met? It was a stormy moment in downtown Minneapolis on May 25th, 2020. A tragic situation unfolded in a split second. It would have required someone who could stay calm, faithful, and unconfused in the moment to have changed the events of that day. It would have required someone who could recognize the different lines of authority at play to have brought the situation to a different outcome. It would have required someone with immense maturity and awareness, a spiritual presence, to know which line of authority to choose and to be willing to be obedient to it and then follow it to wherever it led. I believe that only a person who walks with God on a moment-by-moment basis, whose first priority is intimacy with God, can consistently handle these situations in the spirit of love. Only someone who knows what it means to have the Lord walk with them in life moment by moment is able to make the kinds of personal sacrifices that will allow them the freedom to love in the moment. Only that person can consistently make the right choices that tough situations demand of us. Do you want to be that person? Do you want to be that person? That person who can handle the tough circumstances that come at us with that kind of calmness, faithfulness, that kind of spiritual presence. This is the person that God needs today more than ever. It means putting aside our own ambitions and priorities, our own will. It means trusting God with our lives and aligning our will with God's purposes. It means that knowing in a deep way that this is, that God is with us in this moment, today, this moment. And being able to see God walking on the storms of our lives and the storms that are going around us. And knowing everything is all right. It's that kind of person that can meet the tough demands that life brings to us. I think it means setting aside our future goals and allowing God's life-giving will to be done through us today, this moment. It means allowing God to take us on a journey of love whose immediate destination is not necessarily obvious, but the process is very clear. Trust me when I say that this kind of person can change the world. Could change a tragedy unfolding in a busy inner city street. Could even perhaps change an unfolding tragedy in a country far away.